being talked to in the U.S. right now, obviously. So what do you think, how do you think the presidential election is going to affect things? I mean, investors don't want uncertainty, but on the other hand, investors are excited by the current presidency, partly because it's a real estate figure, and they think it's going to mean pro-development policies. What do you, how do you guys feel about that, short-term, long-term?
And, you feel very strongly about the public platform, all the rhetoric that you're saying, reality is that the Republican platform that President-elect's platform is absolutely pro-business, it's small country, it's anti-regulation, it's reducing tax, it's creating infrastructure, and if anything, what's taking place is an extraordinary amount of spending which will probably take place in the next several years, which will drive interest rates up. Interest rates are being driven up, actually the same different ways. Asset class, some interest rates are very good for real estate, and some interest rates are quite challenging for real estate. But overall, from a real estate perspective, having the ability to have friendly local governments now being backed up and federal regulation, encouraging development, encouraging small businesses to grow, and causing deregulation is something that we need to see now, many years.
I would say that some Republicans have a hard time. I think Donald Trump has been great for our business. Because one of the things that's slowing growth down, one of the challenges in my country is how private capitalize. Banking regulations have limited access to capital for development deals in Miami that require, for example, to have these 50% deposits in order to commence construction and use a large deposit. Deregulation of the financial industry, which will make more capital free flowing to real estate. Building jobs, which Trump wants to do, so real estate is a quick way to develop, it's a very quick way to doing that. And so I think access to capital, deregulating the financial sector, and also foreign investment. Donald Trump understands our business, and our business is driven by international and global investments. And so I would expect him to make it easier for development and for capital, foreign capital to go into the U.S. And I can assure you that we will have a much more extended period of time for the EB-5 programs. In terms of the EB-5 program, it will be extended more than the one-year basis.
And Chang, you've dealt with a lot of Chinese developers directly. If you're building in China, I think it's a mentality of just go, go, go. You're not dealing with red tape. You're building it, selling it. Do you see that Chinese developers get, or Chinese capital gets tripped up by the amount of regulation in the U.S.? Do you see that as being affected by Trump presidency because of less regulation?
I believe so. That's why I need a lot of people in the audience to come with me here. This guy's talking about this, trying to find a perfect partner for them, local. They can give them guidance and assistance on how to navigate the local market. It takes time for the Chinese developer really equipped with local experience, expertise, to really do the product themselves. I think the smart way for them is to really find the right match, work closely with them and learn, and then maybe take action later on. So it's a different dynamic between China and the U.S. It's also complicated, don't get it wrong. Developers in China, they do not go through a lot of challenge and difficulties. But they do it a different way. Such as they have to deal with the government, they deal with a lot of relationship, they have difficulty to predict on the market. But the U.S. market is relatively stable, transparent, and also predictable. Those are the good things about the market. I think Chinese developers eventually will find their way to succeed, and I hope Prof can give guidance and great for them to drive them.
You touched on it earlier, but infrastructure spending is one of the pieces of the Trump platform that I think Democrats and Republicans are the most excited about. I mean jobs, I mean building. How do you see that, and I know it's early, but how do you see that panning out? Do you see public-private partnerships? Do you see Chinese money having a hand in that? Do you see Chinese developers who have built such massive projects here getting in the mix?
I think infrastructure development, investment, I think it would be similar to what we saw with the stimulus program, but more widely utilized. And look, if you're fitting
actually, you know, something the first morning after the election, my colleague Jeff came into my office in Shan. We should draft a submitted a bidding offer for the Trump vote because the Pablo is unbeatable on the, because of the knowledge and the heritage of the new world. I told him that as long as I'm not being deported as a Chinese minority.
Yeah, that was the first call.
But do you see, I talked with somebody from Greenland last night, and you know, I mean, they're, like I was saying earlier, their minimum project in the US right now is $1 billion. Do you see private companies like that getting in the mix, or is it more just the AECOMs building out subway, you know, building infrastructure?
I think from a political perspective, you know, Donald Trump ran on a great job path to America. I do not think that there will be any political will for that to be a global level. That is our business. I do not see infrastructure in this political climate in the United States being a global business opportunity.
I guess maybe the secondary thing where they're building developments next to infrastructure projects. How concerned are you about Trump's talk about currency manipulation and tariff wars? How do you feel like that's going to play out on the ground, and what's that going to mean for real estate investment? Any of the people you're talking to, you know, since you've been here raising that issue?
That is really the issue, but it's a lot of campaign rhetoric. It's not good for the economy, and it played to a certain constituents that don't like. Barely is the Biden policy that free trade is good for the U.S. Limiting free trade eliminates jobs.
We have a balanced system in our country, too, so the president is not a dictator. He's got to go through a political process in Congress and the minority party, the Democratic Party. Very close to being on equal footing in both of our chambers of Congress, as well as being able to do these kind of far flung political grounds and rhetoric. I think a lot of that was the campaign rhetoric that came shooting from the hip along
the Democratic or Republican. You know, what we really just saw, not just in the United States but around the world, was we saw the first reality TV star become president. And so a lot of what was vocalized during the campaign and what was proposed essentially was extremely nonsensical, unrealistic, and we have checks and balances in our country. So I can almost tell you that things are going to be very similar to what they were before. And when you look at the establishment that's coming in today, whether they're coming into various positions that are opening up, whether it's Secretary of State or you know, some of the things that we're hearing that there are close picks to. These are government people that have been around forever, and we are not going to abandon our policies of globalization, working with the Asian communities, whether it's Japan or China or Korea or Taiwan. I mean, this is one hand washes the other, and the cooperation and the coexistence that has helped us become, we're still number one, sorry, you guys are number two, as far as global economies, will continue. None of that is going to change, and I wholeheartedly believe that we're going to start seeing, God willing, a more presidential individual emerge, understanding the power of the seat that he has taken over.
Let's also remember, before he was President-elect, Trump was a reality TV star. Before he was part of a modeling campaign, he was a very successful businessman. And regardless of which side of the aisle you stand on, I think he continued with business practices and to deliver a lot of quality that he was
known for. You know, one of the things is, I want to say this is in America. The views that you heard that came from Donald Trump or the presidential election do not, many and most of the offensive ones do not reflect the values of our nation. They don't reflect the perspective of most Americans. Most Americans welcome diversity. We are a nation of immigrants. That is how we were founded. We are better because of immigration. We are better because of foreign capital in our country. And if Donald Trump continues to articulate views that we heard through the campaign, the United States Congress and the American people will put the brakes on. So So we welcome investments, and you should not be discouraged by one man. One man comes and goes every 4 years, and our values endure. And I know that, look, the Chinese investors are long-term investors in the United States of America. Bet on us long-term. One man, and one man with a big mouth, does not change our values.
Chinese people in the audience. I think we are concerned very much on the Trump's policy and strategy on the nation side. Was his policy with Japan, Korea, Taiwan, China, South China Sea. So far, everything is smoothly going on. Everybody here in this room is beneficial of this relationship, ongoing transactions. If the landscape changed because the different policy or the people around Trump doesn't really hold him going through the way as we have it before. We have a concern that we change the relationship between China and the U.S. and will somehow impact the economics we're dealing with.
You can see already that the world is taking word about this. I mean, Prime Minister Abe was meeting with Trump yesterday because Japan is one of our major trade partners in the United States. But ultimately, before any of these decisions are made, there, I'm sure there's a lot of studies on what the effects of having these tariffs, when he's talking about where the offset effects are. And before they make any decisions, it's going to be a well thought out, intelligent, not knee jerk reaction, kind of decision that's really, really going to make a lot of sense. And you know, the Donald Trump that we know is a guy who's logical and makes logical sense and is not going to go, you know, putting out a fire to go start running somewhere else.
And these opinions, again, the United States Congress has to approve those kinds of steps. And so there will be a check and balance in our country. By the way, our country has done this before. We go through every 15 to 20 years a test, a tug of war, what democracy looks like in America. And this is one of those. But it will settle down, and there will be a more active Congress, and likely, some tug of war, the president-elect will actually have to compromise to get his own party to go along. Because one of the things to remember now, there were many members of the Republican Party saying they were going to vote for Hillary Clinton. One of them is now being considered for Secretary of State Mitt Romney. So in the end of the day, by the way, I have said this to many people, Washington, D.C. is not ready for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not ready for Washington, D.C. He's going to be surprised. Things have done a bit different. That's my own doubt, by the way. Washington, D.C. will slow this process down. Nothing, unfortunately, gets done.
One of the things I've really enjoyed about these 2 days is talking to people who are super enthusiastic about Trump, talking to people who are not as a little aware of Trump, talking to Chinese who are want to know about it, and I think just having a dialogue at this level is really important too. I mean, we're not talking to Trump here, but a lot of these guys up here actually have pretty direct access to, you know, the highest levels of power. But I think it's good that people are talking about it. The Thanksgiving holiday is coming up in the U.S. when all families get together, which some people are worried about this year because it's a more divided opinion than normal, but I think it's actually a pretty healthy and good thing. So leaving aside Donald Trump for a second, we talked about the partnership between the U.S. and China and how strong it is. And I think that's been manifest by some of the monster purchases you've seen this year. You had Agbag, as I mentioned before, buy a $6 billion hotel portfolio. That was the biggest ever. Are you seeing more portfolio buys? How do you weigh those two things in development versus portfolio wise if you're a Chinese investor these days?
From what I experienced and I saw, clearly the portfolio acquisition become much, much more in terms of volume in 2016. I believe this will happen more in size in 2017 as well. When Chinese insurance might begin to play, they don't replace it. You will begin to see the deals with Chinese insurance and also a few Chinese insurance companies. They're representing the state side, but also they have the qualifications going through the hurdle of foreign government policy. And for them to make a decision, it's easier when they're investing into portfolio assets because they're so diversified and balanced. It's easy to pass through the board of risk. Those things give them elements to make what we were talking about before, project by project, the taking company or developer from China, they need to go through more detail. They look at this, they need to understand the market very well, although it's not they need to do.
So you're basically not having any geographical specific risk, right? You're not betting on one city, you're just spreading it out everywhere.
Yeah, that basically, I think, offset their disadvantage of the local knowledge. When you're doing a portfolio, you don't have to know very well this is what they
So, could you do something like that and spend $700 million in the past couple of years? Is it only something that you can do if you have $1 billion? How do you do it at a lower level?
If I have $1 billion, which I don't, right now, Puff is working on the demand fund. I believe that's the best strategy for a company like us to guide the Chinese capital to play the company to the game at this stage. As I mentioned before, there's so many land acquisitions will be coming due in 12 months or 24 months. And Chinese people, if Chinese capital, if you come in as an equity investor together with me, I'll be very happy because if we share this together, like we're going to have nightmares at the same time. But if I were in your position, I would tell you, right now coming in to lend the money to people who need that, you will become the hero, either a hero to save people's life, or you will become a person you can bury people when you die. Either way, you're having sweet dreams. You don't need to worry too much.